The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
If you'll turn with me to 1 John 2, I want to read, first of all, from the Revised Standard Version, 1 John 2 and verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. Now, that's really the way it should be translated. It's not that way in the King James. It is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. We're in the last hour. Brethren, we really are in the last hour. Now, brethren, when that last hour strikes, well, then we're into it. And the other side of that last hour is going to be when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. So we're obviously getting very close to the return of Jesus Christ. And God keeps setting the stage for us here as we go along.
On May 5th, 2001, God revealed to Mr. Gerald Fleury that it is the last hour, a short period of time of intensified world trouble and suffering before Christ returns. 4 months later, America experienced the greatest attack on its soil ever. God allowed that attack to happen to reinforce that we are in the last hour.
We are, brethren, living in the last hour. We're in the death throes of this nation. Well, this is a whole new world, and indeed it is. It is the last hour. And you've never seen anything like it's going to be in this last hour. It's never been this way. We never have anything in history, or never have had anything in history to measure it by. It's going to be that bad. Why did Christ coordinate this to happen so quickly after he revealed about the last hour? Jesus Christ lives. Jesus Christ is alive. And I think, first of all, he probably wanted us to have that sink into our minds and be a reality in our minds that it is the last hour.
The 9/11 attacks reinforce that we are living in the last hour. Since the last hour began on May 5th, 2001, the world has not been the same, just as Mr. Gerald Fleury said in his sermon following the 9/11 attacks.
This is the last hour, and we're going to have to expect it to be different than any other hour in the history of man.
After 9/11, the United States began its war on terror. In 2001, it invaded Afghanistan. In 2003, Iraq. Both campaigns ended in failure, costing nearly $3.5 trillion and thousands of U.S. soldiers. America's strength was spent in vain. Events have accelerated at a rapid pace since May 2001. In 2008, a mortgage collapse in America triggered the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. This led the United States government to spend billions to bail out the banking and insurance industries. The ripple effect of this crisis haunts the world today and has also contributed to Germany's economic dominance over Euro member nations. Also in 2008, Barack Obama was elected president of the United States. He vowed to fundamentally transform the nation. He succeeded. The Constitution came under assault. Racial violence surged. America became more divided than ever. In 2011, Obama contributed to the outbreak of the Arab Spring in the Middle East. This event helped destabilize the Middle East and empower radical Islam. It led to the Syrian civil war that led to millions of Muslim refugees flooding into Europe. In 2014, Russia annexed Crimea, not long after Mr. Gerald Fleury identified Vladimir Putin as the prophesied Prince of Rosh. 8 years later, in 2022, under the Biden administration, Putin would return to try and finish the job, launching a full-scale war against Ukraine. That war has contributed to the rise of the German defense industry as well. In 2016, Britain, the biggest counterweight to German dominance in the European Union, voted to leave the EU, just as Herbert Armstrong had forecasted decades prior. That same year, Donald Trump was elected President of the United States. In 2020, COVID plagued the world, costing millions of lives and over $16 trillion. That same year, race riots broke out across the U.S. In the fall, President Trump had the election stolen from him, and months later, Joe Biden, an extension of Barack Obama, entered the White House. In 2022, under Biden's watch, Putin launched a full-scale war against Ukraine. In 2023, the Iranian-backed terror group Hamas carried out the October 7 attack against Israel, the worst attack against Jews since the Holocaust. In 2024, President Trump returned to the White House. These world-shaking events have been happening at a more frequent pace since the last hour began. The King of the South is pushing, the King of the North is rising. The Psalm 83 Alliance is taking shape. The stage is being set. God revealed the last hour to Mr. Gerald Fleury to warn the world of what is happening, but to also give hope to those who turn to God before it's too late.
But here is our head who revealed to us that we're in the last hour, and I think he may have done this for more than just one reason. But it shows that the head of our church is alive.
The living Christ is directing and empowering his church, the Philadelphia Church of God, to boldly proclaim his warning message to the world. The last hour is not only a sign that the pace of troubling world events is accelerating, it shows Jesus Christ is returning soon.
I tell you, brethren, God is on a countdown. Jesus Christ is on a countdown. And all, the only people on this earth that know it is this little group right here. There is nobody else. This is the last hour, and we're going to have to expect it to be different than any other hour in the history of man.
Will you forgive me for saying how great this program is? I mean, that's not to congratulate myself. You just don't get this message anywhere else. You don't. I mean, it's actually praise God. That's what's special about the trumpet, about my father's programs, the literature that we produce. I mean, it puts the spotlight on God's truth. The sure word of Bible prophecy. Where else do you, on what program today, Can you get a message about the last hour and the most significant, notable developments of the past 25 years? I mean, that montage right there gives you some perspective. You can go and listen to the cheerleaders saying that everything's perfect and peaceful and wonderful. Or maybe you could go to the other extreme. Everything's terrible and horrible and not fixable. But what is God's view? What is God's perspective? You step back, you look at 25 years, and you think, yeah, this is a different world that we're living in. Satan's been cast down. Of course, that happened back in 1986. But you look at 2001, I mean, the world changed on May 5th. 4 months later, the Twin Towers came down, and you know, when you think about the most significant notable developments, you can talk about the Middle East, obviously. We've spent some time on that in recent weeks. But really, I think it's summed up best in these recent trumpet magazines. The world's uniting against America. Now, think about the world 25 years ago. Think about the world after 9/11. After 9/11, the world united in support of America. Now, that's a pretty dramatic and significant change in 25 years. And then you have this, decades and decades of warnings about Germany. Germany today, very different from the Germany of 25 years ago. I mean, 25 years ago, it had been newly reunited. But look at Germany today. Germany's building a war machine. And where do you hear about that? Where do you hear anything that sounds even remotely like a warning message? Well, there's a few good articles here and there, but and we give them to you on this show, but it's not featured or spotlighted on any other program, except for this one, The Trumpet Daily, except for The Key of David, except for The Trumpet Magazine. You're listening to The Trumpet Daily, by the way. A little bit of a longer monologue, I guess, but appropriately so. 25 years, the last hour. I mean, skeptics and critics can come along and say, the last hour? I mean, it's been 25 years? And you're talking about urgency? And I would say, yes, we are. We certainly are. John talked about urgency in the first century. Was he wrong? Was he off? What about the Apostle Paul? What about Jesus Christ with the Olivet Prophecy? People come along and say, my Lord delays his coming. Yeah, you're just one of a long line of false prophets that talk about the end times, the last days, the last hour. Well, we'll read if we have time, 2 Peter 3. Think about how many scoffers there were during the ministry of Enoch. He only lived for 350 years before the flood. Methuselah, a type of the world, lived for almost 1,000 years. Enoch goes on and on with his warning message. Obviously, Noah comes along, and for a century, he's warning the world. And I mean, what would the world have thought of Noah, let's say, in, you know, year 78 of the century that he was working on the ark and warning the world that the end of all flesh is near? Of course they scoffed. Of course they ridiculed Noah. The Guardian has a piece, Germany's military power is on the rise. This time it must be firmly embedded in Europe. The shocking statements in this article. Nobody's going to pay attention to it. The guy's saying, you know, this time I hope it stays embedded in Europe. This time I hope the rise of the German military machine is good for Europe, as opposed to, you know, those other times when it was not so good. As we mark the 81st anniversary of the end of the Second World War in Europe this Friday, May 8th. May 8th, that's another anniversary. VE Day, victory in Europe. Just 81 years ago. 25 years of the last hour, 81 years since the end of World War II. These are some pretty significant anniversaries. It's a good opportunity for us to get some perspective, to view these events through God's eyes, through the lens of Bible prophecy. Most people won't do it, though. It's clear that Germany will again be the leading European military power. That's the Guardian, the left-wing Guardian in the UK. Yes, on this 81st anniversary of VE Day, it is clear that Germany will again, be the leading European military power. Already next year, its defense spending will be as much as that of France and Britain combined. And it's projected to be significantly larger by 2030. The German government's declared goal is to have the strongest conventional army in Europe. The question, particularly on this solemn anniversary, is how can we ensure that this time the growth of German military power is a positive development for all of Europe? Well, that's a good question. How can we be sure? How can we be sure that the growth of the German military machine is going to be good for the world this time around? It's going to be good for Europe this time around. It's going to be good for Britain. It's going to be good for America. Is it? There are two reasons Germany has made such a radical departure from the increasingly mistaken stance it took all the way from the hopeful 1990s to Vladimir Putin's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022. Here are the two reasons. It had to go forward and build the military machine. And you've heard these two reasons on this show over and over again. Vladimir Putin and Orange Hitler. There you go. We've got to build the military machine. I mean, Donald Trump is severing ties with Europe. NATO's all but disbanded. NATO's finished. So we have to do it. And the world applauds. And a few here and there, like this guy at The Guardian. Now, how can we be sure that this time around, it's going to be a good thing? Well, I mean, at least he's asking the question. Good for him. I don't have the guy's name. It's at The Guardian. The obvious challenge this leaves for Europe is whether we can deter an aggressive nuclear-armed Russia on our own. The less obvious but equally important challenge is how to avoid the return of those acute tensions about the distribution of military power between European countries, which were both the normality and the curse of Europe until 1945. Just until 1945, when the U.S. came in and basically imposed its will on Europe and Germany in particular and stationed 400,000 troops there, okay, and said Germany is never going to rise again. NATO will see to it. It's to keep Germany down. That's the purpose. 400,000 troops. And after the latest withdrawal, it's down to 30,000. 30,000 American troops in Germany. It's only taken 81 years. And people, when they talk about why those troops were in Germany in the first place, what they're there for now, I mean, it's like we're in another world. Well, as you saw in the montage, it is another world. I think even the world of 25 years ago would have been alarmed by the Atlantic article from a few months ago about the new German war machine. I think the world just 25 years ago would have been alarmed by this Guardian article. Germany's military power is on the rise. This time, it must be firmly embedded in Europe. I think as people, just assume you're reading this 25 years ago, I think when they got to this point, how can we ensure that this time the growth of German military power is a positive development for Europe? How can we be sure? Today it's printed, and as I've said, people barely bat an eye. No big deal. I mean, listen, in the last 25 years, man's been able to develop a lot of gadgets, a lot of screens, a lot of powerful phones, a lot of entertainment, a lot of sports, a lot of channels, a lot of cable channels. And, of course, the internet. I mean, the internet was in the early stages there in the late 1990s. But really, the internet is, I mean, the last 25 years. Among other things, you've seen the emergence of the World Wide Web. You've seen the emergence of a militarized Germany. Germany is pivotal to answering these questions. Its new military strategy, the first in the history of the Federal Republic, is titled Responsibility for Europe. Isn't that wonderful? It sounds so wonderful. We're just being responsible. They should put the word peace in there. That would make it perfect. Responsibility for a peaceful Europe. That's my suggestion for the title. In this world of fakery and phoniness, how perfect would that be? Well, we're just being responsible. We're just doing what's good for European security. The title is Responsibility for Europe. And then this guy writes, but for Europe is just words. Well, he's right about that as well. It's just words. Is it really for Europe? Is this for peace? Is this going to make the world better? Everyone in Europe, except for the British, says that about their national policy. The real issue is whether this will be European indeed. It says if Germany goes on investing its massively increased defense expenditure in its own national defense industry, which gradually reducing purchases from the U.S., it could eventually overtake France, which is second only to the U.S. as a global arms exporter. So this guy here, you see, Timothy Ash, there he is. He says, Mertz has an opportunity to go down in the history books. As long as he embeds this German military machine into Europe and really makes it good for Europe. Here we are, 25 years on from the last hour anniversary, and just a few days away from the 81st anniversary of VE Day, and one of the most significant developments these past 25 years is we've seen the resurgence of Germany. We've seen it. We're seeing it. It's happening. And no one's paying attention. The world is in darkness. My father, after giving that sermon on May 5th, 2001, on The Last Hour, later we produced a booklet based on that content called The Last Hour. You can call our operators today and request a free copy of that electrifying book. I mean, if ever there was a call for urgency in your individual life, your spiritual life, it's in that book. He gave some messages following that sermon from 25 years ago. This is from the Key of David back in 2002, clip 7.
Jesus Christ knew he was going to make that return, and so he was preparing John to educate people for it today, just before he comes back to this earth. And John speaks here with authority. I mean, there's no guessing in this book. I'm not guessing. I can tell you absolutely that every word of this is going to be fulfilled. Now, we don't know the day or the hour. Christ said that himself when he was on this earth. We don't know the exact time that everything's coming to pass, but we know we're in the last hour. And when God says we're in the last hour, he means the last hour. The last little span of time to be fulfilled on this earth.
Just a little time left. A little sliver, as my father says in the booklet. These are unique times. The last hour isn't mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. There's only one last hour. This little sliver of time Christ has given us to finish delivering his warning to the world. What an honor to fight for Christ and to conquer the devil at this time. I mean, even those that would scoff and say, well, it's now stretched out to 25 years. I mean, that just shows God's mercy. God is long-suffering. God's will is that everyone would receive salvation, that no one would perish. Now, some will because of stubborn rebellion. But God, even God's intervention to save America from being blotted out, even its name from being blotted out. You saw it in the montage. I mean, the dear leader came along and wanted to fundamentally transform the United States, and he very nearly did it completely. But God raised up a Jeroboam type. He saved America. Why? So that we could turn from our wicked ways, so that we could see our sins. It's like I talked about yesterday on the show with, YouTube taking over the classroom. And then no one with the authority or the character willing to do anything. Administrators, government officials, parents, and of course the children. I mean, what do you think they're going to turn to, a 12-year-old, if he's got a device with unlimited access to the internet? I mean, that wasn't a temptation for me when I was a kid in school. We didn't have it. We didn't have smartphones. We didn't have all of this technology that just kept us locked into the world and Satan's anti-family message, constant bombardment over, over and again. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last hour. In the Epistle of Jude, God says, you want to get scientific about this and even get down to measuring the moments. The Last Hour book, by the way, is a book largely about time management. How to manage your time. How to avoid wasting your life. How to eliminate distractions. How to keep your focus on the work, God's work. Listen again to my father from 2002, clip 4.
Notice 1 John 2 and verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. This is the Revised Standard Version. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. So, John, at that time, did not know. He did a little later, and I'll point that out to you. But he didn't know that this was talking about our time today. He thought that last hour was coming in his time. But he only fulfilled a type of what is going to happen in this end time just before Jesus Christ returns. I mean the final hour, that final little span of time before Jesus Christ returns to this earth.
Now just think about how many generational events have happened in these past 25 years. It's like they're happening, well, for a time it was like every couple years. Now it seems like it's almost every couple months, maybe every couple weeks. Earth-shaking events reinforcing what 9/11 reinforced almost 25 years ago, that we are indeed in the last hour. And God, as I say, is he suffers long, and he's reaching out to lukewarm Laodicean Christians and trying to get them to return to what they once knew and understood and believed and supported. But it's easy to fall away from that. It's easy to go to sleep. It's easy to be lulled into a state of complacency and to not do something with this precious truth. 1 John 2:18, you heard it there in that clip. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. I mean, you can see it even in the Antichrists that have fought to bury the truth. We were face to face with that demonic spirit during the six-year battle for Mystery of the Ages, which, by the way, was going on right during the last hour message from 2001. We were right in the midst, the middle years of that six-year lawsuit. And we saw how many antichrists there were fighting against God's truth, fighting to suppress the truth, fighting to bury the truth. Listen again to my father. This one's from 2011, clip 10.
God backs his words with deeds. God does that. This prophecy in John's epistles about the last hour, we understood that on May the 5th, 2001. And of course, it opened up the whole, all of the epistles of John to be understood as primarily for this end time. Now, that when that was revealed, it was about 4 months before September the 11th, 2001, when the attack on the Twin Towers occurred. And we believe that God just allowed that to happen to reinforce his revelation that we are in the last hour.
To reinforce his revelation, you know, God gives us helpful signs along the way to encourage his family, to encourage his work, to reinforce the fact that his revelation, his truth is sure. His prophecy is sure. We can stake our lives on it. Switching back to 2002, here's clip 5.
It's as if God is talking to us in stages. He talks about the end time. And then he goes on to talk more specifically about a Matthew 24 end time. And then he goes on in Daniel 8 and talks about the last end. And then here in John, he talks about the very last hour. Just before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. I mean, the last hour. It's like Christ gives us a countdown. A countdown to his return. How many people really believe that? And how many people know that we are today living in the last hour?
God is so merciful, so loving, so helpful, so encouraging. He lays it out there for us. Jesus in the Olivet prophecy. He said, now you're not going to know the specific hour, the specific moment that Christ returns, but you're going to know when it's close. You're going to know when it's near. And 1 John 2 and verse 18 gives us some really helpful detail. Okay, now we're coming into this final period of time. This last hour of time. It's a different world. It's a different world today. This is from page 2 of the Last Hour book. It says, we're running out of times. Things will never be or return to the way they were. From now on, we're in the last hour, a time like no other. We'll experience the worst turmoil and violence ever on earth. How do you manage your time? My father says. How urgent are you in organizing your time? We all need to get motivated to do more. We have less than an hour left. I mean, and over in the Jude booklet, he talks about this being the last hour as well and making sure you take advantage of every moment. But he adds in that booklet that what a time this is for opportunity. I mean, to actually do something meaningful, to do something that supports God's work. Isaiah 58 says that this work is to cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice. Show my people their transgression. Show them their sins. Be bold. Be courageous about it. Shout for God. Speak for God. To get to be a part of that, to support that, that's a wonderful privilege. It's an honor. Look at the disciples of Christ. What a wonderful honor it was for them to be able to support Jesus in his earthly ministry. And yet, as you know, I mean, at that last hour, they fled. They fled persecution. They didn't stand with Christ. Jesus stood alone. And we know how the world treated him. We know what this world did to the Son of God. And 1 Corinthians 2 says that they did it in ignorance. Had they known that this was the Son of God, the princes, the elites of this world wouldn't have crucified him. But they did, didn't they? They sure did. They crucified the Son of God. He came to this dark, evil world with light, with the light of truth, with the light of the gospel. And the world despised him and rejected him. The world persecuted him. The world crucified him. It says here, in the last hour, Antichrists appear on the scene. People who knew God the Father then turned away and are now fighting Christ. The problem began with that Antichrist, singular. But then there were many Antichrists, numerous dissenting groups from our mother church. numerous splinter groups that came out from the Worldwide Church of God. And like my father spells out in the last hour, either fighting directly against this little church to suppress mystery of the ages and God's truth, or just passively standing on the sidelines and not really taking part in the battle. They're neutral. And God says, if you're neutral, my father brings this out in the book, if you're neutral, you're actually fighting Christ. We have to be fighting with Christ. We have to stay with Christ until the end. We have to finish this work, just like Jesus finished his ministry. We're going up against a lot. The devil knows who we are. God's people have massive targets on their backs. But we've got to engage in the battle. We've got to fight against the Antichrist. Play this one from 2017, clip 9.
Many scoff, you see, at when you talk about demons, but this earth is just literally infested with them today, more than any time on this earth. This is the last hour.
It's like I said yesterday, man, there's so much proof that we're living in the last days. You look at the complete and total breakdown of the family. You look at all the evil and the filth, the impurities. Yesterday in class, we were going through, maybe it was the class before Friday, 2 Peter 3, where it said, well, I suppose we can read it. You don't hear this in traditional Christian denominations. They don't get into anything that could be construed as fire and brimstone. We can't preach that. We've got to give a gospel of, well, just positive thinking. How about that? And that's what they focus on. I mean, the gospel is positive. The gospel is about the coming kingdom of God. That's the greatest news this world could ever receive. But look at what has to happen before Christ returns to this earth. Look at what happens if you fast forward ahead to the end of the wonderful world tomorrow and the great white throne judgment period. Now, if you're in a, you know, an everyday denomination of this Christian world, the Western Christian world, you've probably never heard of the great white throne judgment. Which is why you should read Revelation 20 or read what Jesus said in the Gospels about the people of Sodom and Gomorrah coming up in the resurrection. What happens then? Well, the Bible tells you. The Bible explains it. Here in 2 Peter 3, verse 12 says, looking for, well, let me just back up to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. When have you heard this? If you've grown up as a Protestant or a Catholic, I mean, when have you heard this read to you even? Much less explained. This earth is going to be purged at the end of God's 7,000-year master plan. It's going to be purged in a lake of fire, not a earthwide flood of water, but a flood of fire. Why? Well, because God's new project is about to go forward. You can read about that in Romans 8, the universe vision. You can read about the new Jerusalem that's going to be established on this earth, this new earth. God talks about a new heavens, a new earth, new Jerusalem, all of these new things because they're all of God. And they just keep getting better and better and better. In this present evil world, things just get worse and worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3:13. The evil multiplies. The cancer spreads. The sickness grows. God's world is going to be different. Seeing then, verse 11, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Considering the surface of the earth is going to be dissolved, and everything physical or material, it's going to be dissolved in this fiery lake. What manner of person ought you to be? How should this impact your thinking and your living today? How should it impact your lifestyle? What kind of Christian should you be given this reality? I mean, this is some perspective. Here we're projecting ahead 1,000 years or so. And God actually says, look, I mean, you can read it in the verse before we started. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Every single week, which, in case you haven't noticed, it's 7 days. How did it become 7 days? Who did that? Who made that? Who created? Was it some guy in the Far East somewhere that said, you know what, maybe the week should be organized according to 7 daily increments? No, God did that. It's in Genesis 1. It's in Genesis 1 and 2. And every single week that goes by, we're reminded of God's 7,000-year master plan. It's beautiful. It's brilliant. And yet still, man most often forgets. Forgets why we're here. I mean, I'm talking about ones that have had their minds open to the truth, to understand the mysteries, the great mysteries of God, discussed in Mystery of the Ages. Most of God's people have just gone back into this world and the things of this world. They've immersed themselves into spiritual darkness. Every week, God reminds us there's a 7,000-year plan being worked out here below. We're very near to the end of 6,000 years. We're very close to the start of the 1,000-year world tomorrow, millennium, kingdom of God on this earth. It's all described in the scriptures. It's all there. Not just in one obscure verse somewhere. Hundreds and hundreds of passages. God wants us to be eternity oriented. He wants us to be urgent. He wants us to know we're living in a transition period that takes us right through the end of this age, the great tribulation, the day of the Lord, and the start of the wonderful world of tomorrow. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ ruling this earth with a rod of iron from God's headquarters in Jerusalem. Why would you turn away from that? Well, so many of God's people have. They've lost interest. Look at what we're going up against, that clip I played for you. This world is just infested with demons. There's just so much proof that the world today is not God's world, but the world of tomorrow will be. And those demons will be put away. Satan the devil will be locked away. This is another one from 2002, clip 6.
Some of the commentaries think, well, this is talking about the last 2,000 years when it talks about the last hour, but no, it is not. And most of the commentaries admit that. They realize that John is talking about a very urgent time, not something is happening over 2,000 years. He's talking about something that happens just before Jesus Christ returns and is probably the most traumatic experience of his entire life, because people are going out of the church of God, his own brethren, his own spiritual family, and then they're turning around and fighting against John and the church, or the very elect.
In the book, my father talks about how God is putting time on center stage. And you can look at, well, it says it in the book, our building program will only speed the process to get this work done. Things will never return to the way they were. How do you manage your time, he says? How urgent are you in organizing your time? You look back over these 25 years, and I mean, and my father made this point. when we broke ground on this building that's right behind me, he said that as the house of God goes up, our nations, the nations of Israel, primarily America, Britain, and little Judah in the Middle East, they're going to be going down. Is that happening? Look at the world. Look at the world that united in support of America 25 years ago and the world today that is rallying against America. And Germany's leading the way. I'll say it. That's the quiet part out loud. We now live in dramatically new and far more dangerous times. It will be the worst hour in human history. So if you scoff, if you ridicule, we'll just stick around. You'll see it. You'll see it play out. You'll see the decades of warnings about Germany come to pass. Is there a more urgent expression in the Bible than the last hour? Listen to this one from 2014 on the Key of David, clip 8.
Former ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, said, "The world is descending into chaos." The world is descending into chaos, he said. And it's a chaos that this world has never experienced before. They've never seen it before. And we've been prophesying that it was going to happen for 70 years. How could we possibly know? How could we possibly know that and that this great carnage would come upon the earth at this time, in this very end time, or what the Bible calls the last hour? And we are very deeply into that last hour.
25 years ago today, and just a few months after that announcement on May 5th, 2001, you had the 9/11 attacks, and it reshaped the world. It's still reshaping the world, those terrorist attacks. It unleashed the so-called forever wars that so many in the MAGA movement want us to pull out of. They want America to return to isolationism. They want America out of NATO. They want America out of Europe. They want troops, all troops, removed from Germany. And meanwhile, like the Guardian says, Germany is the military power of Europe again. Is it for Europe's good? Is it good for Europe? Here it is happening again. You know what else happened right around 9/11 is the college, Armstrong College, started. We're coming up to our 25-year reunion for that as well. 25 years of a last hour college, training young people, preparing them for teaching, for the work, for God's work, for supporting God's work, for putting their hearts into God's work. That early period in the war against terrorism, of course, George W. Bush was leading the way, and I mean, the last 25 years have exposed just how weak he was as a president. Nothing like the dear leader who hated America, who wanted to destroy the Constitution. You saw his emergence in 2008 going around the world, and I mean, he even spoke in Germany. Remember that? Like 200,000 people turned out for the dear leader giving a speech there near the Berlin Wall. And I mean, the world was just almost mesmerized by Barack Obama. And yet, as you saw in the montage, that man is responsible for so much division and hatred, anti-Americanism. He empowered America's enemies. He undermined the Constitution wherever possible. He opened the borders, and it was only made worse during the Otto Penn years. That was Obama's third term. Look at the damage caused by just one man. And all of the financial earth-shaking events, the 2008 financial crisis, where I guess we decided every single company or institution had to be bailed out. You mean if they're big, they cannot fail. And that mentality works its way into the swamp. As far as the leaders in America are concerned, the United States is too big to fail. Well, they don't think that way in Germany. I'll just let you in on a little secret. Vladimir Putin doesn't think that. China doesn't think America's too big to fail. These are America's enemies or adversaries, and they are working behind the scenes to bring about a complete and total collapse of the American superpower. That's the truth. The world, it's like the Trumpet magazine says, the world is uniting against America. They don't think America's too big to fail. Obama comes on the scene in 2008. That's the year we started our academy. And we've got the complete educational program, kindergarten through college, God's education, God's way, education with vision. As you see the work go up, like my father said, you're going to see our nation's collapse. This building behind me opened its doors in 2010. It's hard to believe. It's been operational in the past 16 years. So many spectacular events that have taken place in that building over the years. Just like the one a little over a week ago, the Lamentations Oratorio. Quite a warning message in that performance. Glorious performance. A performance that really does help for us to better understand God's level of emotion when it comes to the collapse of our nations. In Ezekiel 33, he says, why will you die? Why are you doing this to yourself? The montage mentioned the Arab Spring. I mean, that was in 2011. Russia annexing Crimea under the dear leader's watch. And then Putin saw another opportunity during auto pin years. We started this show in 2015 while we were at Edstone. We bought that in 2014 and had a sister campus there for a number of years. We were at Edstone when we received the spectacular news of Brexit. Something Herbert Armstrong said would happen 20, 30, 40 years before it happened. He prophesied of that. Britain won't be a part of it. It's in Mystery of the Ages, I believe. Well, it happened in 2016. And Donald Trump miraculously came into power in 2016. And I mean, he was fighting against the deep state every step of the way. A satanic attack on this man. Unhinged. You can't even explain it. It was so demonic. And somehow he survived the last year of his first term, the COVID year. I mean, was that a sign that we're in an unusual period of time? Maybe the last hour? I think so. The election steal, you had all the fake presidency years, and then the miraculous return of Jeroboam. Donald Trump, who has survived three assassination attempts in less than 2 years. People trying to kill the president of the United States because they hate him so much. The world hates him. The world's uniting against America. In the last hour book, it says, events are moving at lightning speed. Christ is giving a time countdown in these latter days. God is calculating time as never before. He's breaking time into specific increments just before his son returns. Was there ever a more urgent work than this? He says, may God help us to make this last hour our finest hour. That's all we have time for on this one-hour show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.